Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Mobile today in Lincoln, Nebraska, where we watched it snow heavily this morning and then watched the sun come out. Penn State and Nebraska tonight, where Nebraska's 11-1 here at Pinnacle Bank Arena this season. The one loss, a one-point loss to Michigan. They've also won five of their last six since the Nittany Lions beat them at the Jordan Center. And I know Dick Girardi asked me an interesting question last night when we were at practice. He said, who do you think for Big Ten Player of the Year? Thought about it for a while. I finally said, you know what, there really isn't a clear-cut choice. I wonder if this kid Teran Petaway from Nebraska might be a legitimate candidate because of the way he has played so far during the course of this run by Nebraska, where he's averaging over almost 18 points a game, and he's coming off a spectacular performance against Michigan State, where he had 23. In fact, he and Walter Pitchford, the two transfers, combined for 41 of the 60 points in the win at Michigan State. So that's coming up. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, coming up in the next half hour to talk about the business of sports, including the business of the Olympics. We'll be talking with him about that as well. Darren Revelle wrote an interesting piece from ESPN about no-shows of students at sporting events. Tony's going to help set us up to get Darren on the show, as a matter of fact. Talked to Tony about that yesterday. We're going to talk about getting him on the show to discuss that. It's another day at the Olympics where from I think Devil 6 minutes and beat the United States one time gold medal.
And we're working to reestablish our connection here in Lincoln here in a minute, but what Steve was alluding to was the women's gold medal hockey game, I believe.
Yes, and they lost 3-2 in overtime after leading 2-0. The U.S. got a gold medal in, I don't know, what it, something. Ski cross or whatever it's called.
Something.
Well, you know what? I mean, here's the problem. There's too many make-believe sports in the Olympics. I mean, really.
There's a lot of X Games sports
only that,
in there.
But then, well, and then, but there's another part to it. You know, you watched, like, the figure skating today. You're telling me she won? Really? Really? The Russian girl won? Really?
I take it you watched it and you feel otherwise?
Here's one for you. F-I-X. Okay. And this has nothing to do with the United States. I didn't think an American girl was good enough to win a medal in the thing. That's fine. But you look at it and you said, okay, really? No. That sport's corrupt. So, there's really very little joy in Mudville today. Fixed sports, corrupt sports, make-believe sports. We get Duke, North Carolina tonight at 9. Get, you know, Penn State, Nebraska tonight. We'll get back to some legit stuff, okay?
I don't know. That hockey game was really, really good today, though.
The best thing so far about the Olympics are stray dogs being saved. Okay.
56 minutes. 56 minutes of really good U.S. hockey, 4 minutes in an overtime that cost them the gold.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why it's a 60-minute game. You don't play 56 minutes. And it's too bad because the U.S. That's twice now that they've played the Canadians in this tournament, and each time the United States led going to the third period. And so the Canadians have something special tank when it comes to their ability with no quit and attack. They pulled the goalie, scored with, what, a minute 21 to go? Something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and then, the yeah.
And then they won it in overtime with about 8-9 minutes in. That was a great win for Team Canada, beat the United States. But at least, somebody named Bowman won a medal today in women's ski halfpipe.
Well, the other thing I think you have to mention is the U.S. women actually had an empty net goal. Had to skate around the official, which happens, and it dinks off of the left post on the open net, or on the empty net, rather.
Yeah. Yep, that happened too. So, and then, of course, then you have judging sports. You watch other people not make mistakes that are in front and don't win. I mean, I'm not rooting for anybody. I mean, I don't care who wins the gold medal in figure skating. Could care less. I'm watching and going, really? Everybody at the table is like, because we were watching it when we were having lunch. They're like, okay, fix is in. Sorry. But that's just, that's not good for the image of the Olympics to have something like that happen.
I have a question. I mean, it's been, when you look at hockey and women's hockey, it's been the United States and Canada since it's become an Olympic sport. But as you watch it, it just looks like those two teams are just that much quicker than everybody else in the tournament. And nobody can catch up just because of the speed.
Because they're just better at it than everybody else. Simple as that. And but I think part of that happens to be the high school and college programs that have developed in this country and in Canada, that's allowed them to develop players in the pipeline, and they've cared about the sport longer. And because, you're talking like the U.S. for winning for the first time in Nagano in 98, well, that's because they've thrown a lot into it at various feeder programs along the way, junior women's hockey, high school hockey, college hockey. I mean, look at Penn State. Penn State now has a Division I women's hockey program. It's in its infancy. It is a program that certainly has its growing pains, but 4 years from now, when they have the next Olympics in South Korea, the Penn State women's program, I'm going to guess, is going to be doing well and thriving. And who knows, by the time they get to 2022, maybe they're a program that produces a couple of Olympians. That's what you're hoping for, and that's what other countries don't have.
I've been hearing a lot of talk from the NHL front office about maybe or maybe not wanting to participate in the Olympics, having NHL players participate in the Olympics. I think it really not only helps the NHL for them to play in the Olympics, because I think it might bring people to hockey that wouldn't normally watch it, myself included, and also it gives you a chance to really showcase how much of a worldwide game your NHL is by having all these NHL players playing for different countries as well.
You make good points, but here's the issue. The NBA can do this in the summer games because it's their off season.
Absolutely.
Now it does increase also the workload on the stars that go to the Olympic Games. And they admit in Olympic years they get tired because now there's prelim games and things like that you have to play before you even get to the Olympics. You have to win the Americas and qualify to get in. So, but at least it's their off season. And for the NHL, the problem is you have to stop the season in order to do this. The one thing that you worry about is when you get into a situation like this, there are two things you worry about. A, somebody getting hurt. B, fatigue when the Stanley Cup playoffs come on, which will be in May, late April, May, and then into early June. How much fatigue are some of the stars going to have because they had to play in an intense tournament like this? 9-hour time zone difference for some, 12-hour time zone difference for those who play for West Coast teams like San Jose, Los Angeles, and Anaheim. Those are some of the current concerns that they have because they have to stop the season to do this. And what happens if, for example, Sidney gets hurt in a game? What happens if Jonathan Quick gets hurt in a game? I mean, that's what some of the things that they're concerned about, and the fatigue factor is also a huge concern. I mean, so those are some of the concerns they have. Now, what you're absolutely right about, and I completely agree with, I think the benefit it gives to the sport in not necessarily in Canada, but in the United States, is incredible, and it's based on the fact when you look at the 4.1 rating that the United States Russia game had Saturday morning at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday, 4:30 on the West Coast, they still had a 4.1 rating for the United States Russia game that took place on Saturday. So that tells you reasons that they should be playing in the Olympics when you hear a rating like that. And that's a big part of it.
Well, NBC has the network contract, and if NBC keeps the Winter Olympics, they're not going to get any national television coverage, I wouldn't think, for a couple of weeks anyway. The only thing you're really losing television-wise are your local local team coverages.
Well, no, I'm just saying they have to weigh this out because it's in the middle of the year, and for if they think they want to get with the, what I found interesting is that people have been hesitant to go against the Olympics. NCIS, Big Bang Theory, they've run repeats this week, and the Olympic ratings are down 14 million viewers from the opening ceremonies.
Yeah, all the other networks are waving the white flag.
And I wouldn't. In fact, I'd go head-to-head with them now. I've seen enough of a drop-off where now the ratings are lower than Torino. I mean, that would tell me it's time to go out and go head-to-head with it. Because right now, the second week is bringing with it considerable Olympic fatigue.
Well, there's a lot of money involved in the Olympics, especially on the television side, and I'm sure you'll have more on that later on.
Well, and they're doing well television-wise. They've done very well television-wise by selling this. I believe they'll have $800 million in ad sales, which is, that gives them a profit.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. And on this Thursday, brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. And in these times, you need to have somebody you trust. He is the guy to trust. Sunbury Motors Studios mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And remember, we're just a mere 2.5 years away from sending Kevin to Rio.
I can't wait. I'm counting down the days.
Yep, you, me, and management. All right, so let's talk about the business of life. This is always your favorite segment. You love this segment.
It's great.
It's ruined your childhood. Takes away all the fantasy stuff of what sports really is. And in reality, it's cash cow. It's business. You don't like the business part. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. And Tony, when we talked about the Super Bowl last month, you said with a Super Bowl in a cold weather spot, that at least a couple of corporate partners that you deal with were doubling down, pulling out of this year's Super Bowl and doubling down in next year's Super Bowl in Glendale with obviously warmer weather and a better atmosphere to deal with leading up to a game. So what about a 9-hour time difference between the East Coast and Sochi, and are they doing the same thing with the Olympics and maybe doubling down on Rio?
You know, they actually prefer the ones that aren't in our neighborhood, every now and then. But Sochi, it's one of those interesting things where sometimes common sense isn't all that common. I think, any listener or any normal person would have heard Sochi in 2000. Where? And look at a map. Wait, we're going there?
Right.
And that was the response from corporate America. They just didn't go. They didn't go because they didn't know the area. They didn't go because the time difference was too big. They didn't go because it wasn't easy to get to. You can't fly directly into Sochi anymore. You have to go through somewhere. And they didn't go for a reason that's, you know, a champagne problem for them. They have to insure their executives. And there's quite the insurance premium on sending somebody to a not-so-stable part of the world. So they really looked at Sochi and said, okay, we're not in a tough spot here. We have Rio coming up in June. And Rio is coming right after 4 years ago. We had the same situation with the World Cup that we're seeing with Sochi in the Olympics, that just nobody went to South Africa. So, you know, the corporate crowd did not go to Sochi. And it's really positioned Rio to be a major event.
And that's also a two-hour time difference from New York, which means that a lot of events are going to be seen live. Does that have an impact on corporate America, that live and drama of live means something?
You know, not necessarily for those that attend. On the sponsorship side, it does, right? They're trying to align themselves with something that you're feeling passionate about. It definitely does change their view on sponsoring the games. But the reality is the games knows this, right? They know that you're really trying to put more money into London. You're trying to put more money into Rio in 2016. And they're going to kind of package your Sochi stuff in there and say, you're going to support us when we go here as well, which will happen with the World Cup when it goes out to Qatar or Qatar or wherever in the world you are that you how you say it. And they, you know, what we really saw there is it didn't just affect that side, but it really affected the travel side, right? Corporations are always looking to get a hold of somebody that has a very packed schedule, right? You know, Steve Jones, the big wig, the only time I'm going to get a hold of him is if I take him to something he absolutely wants to go to, and that's not Sochi. Is it Vancouver? Sure. Is it London? Absolutely. Is it Rio? Yes. Is it Sochi? No. Is it Beijing? It wasn't.
And is it South Korea? I mean, this is the cycle we're in right now. The cycle is Sochi, then Rio, close enough to the U.S. in terms of time zone, then South Korea, then Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a long-term cycle that a corporate partner wants to invest in?
I think Tokyo might be okay. I mean, the reality on the corporate side here, which isn't the greatest news for the regular fans. I mean, it's not a great news for the team, but for the regular fans, is that a lot of the companies here feel like they've saturated the American market, and they're starting to focus on global sponsorships.
Right.
And, you know, Japan's not somewhere they're really trying to push into, but they are trying to push into China and into the Asia zone. They are trying to push into, you know, a little bit more into Europe. So I think they're okay with that. And Tokyo is a destination city. People want to go to Tokyo. South Korea, I mean, we've seen it already with Seoul, and, you know, it's okay, but it's definitely not a getaway. But you are right. I mean, what they're trying to do is continue to kind of throw a bone to that North American market every couple of years, because the reality is the North American market still floats this. You know, most of us don't watch soccer, right? I mean, I watch it some, but most people don't. The United States is still the largest purchaser of tickets and packages for the World Cup. And the World Cup knows that. So when they're throwing it over in Qatar in 2022, the United States is not going to travel there.
Right. Let's stay on the soccer thing for a moment. You and I have briefly touched on the English Premier League. John Henry and the Red Sox group just made a deal with Dunkin' Donuts, and I think there are only literally seven franchises in England, but they made with Liverpool, they made an agreement. What has made the English Premier League not cut into, but made the American market enamored?
I think what's really happened is just the carriage rights, and it's easier to consume the sport than it was before. They've done a good job of putting it somewhere where we can all have access to it. It's got a better TV deal than it had in the past. I mean, it used to be that you had to go find a pub with a satellite and watch a game there. You know, the Premier League is a perfect example of just a really well-run league. And what's happening there is they share the revenue across all of the teams that are up in the top level of the Premier League, and some of the championship teams get them as well. And it creates a spectacle on the top end and the bottom end. That's something we don't see here, both in the college sports, also in the pro leagues, is that, you know, they have a competition every year just to stay in that top league. So it's not like Palooza in the NBA here, you know, everyone you get that costs you £20 million just to get kicked out of that league. A significant amount of money that hurts your team. And, for example, one team out there who used to be the best teams, you know, they got kicked out of the Premier League in the early 2000s, Leeds United, never come back. I mean, that would be like the Cleveland Indians having a rough year, getting kicked out of major leagues and never coming back from the minors. So it creates a whole lot of excitement across the entire, they call it table, right? We call it standings. And it's something that, you know, we might see a little bit of over here in the States. I mean, they're not going to start, you know, sending teams down to different leagues, but trying to find a way to make it so that the teams who are out of it halfway through the year still have something interesting to play for.
When it comes to tickets in this country, obviously Seattle has averaged 41,000 plus. Vancouver obviously has been a stronghold. Portland's been a stronghold. You're in LA, so you can tell me about how it is there, but is it worth it corporately, ticket-wise, to be invested in MLS in this country outside of those areas?
You know what's shocking? Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
It's, for our generation, probably, you know, we don't think about it that way. But for the next generation, it really is. And this is an issue that's happening across the board. I'm sure you saw Denver Bell piece, college football. This next generation is not attending the games.
Yep, 18% no-show rate at Penn State, which is one of the better ones. It's 47% at Arizona.
Yeah, and Arizona, if you go through the study, was considered one of the top five in the Pac-12.
Right.
So, you know, what we're really focusing on the corporate side is something that the teams and leagues need to catch up to. Is there's a different taste out there. The MLS is a very healthy right now. They're building new stadiums. They're not just doing it to lose money. They've got a whole new generation that's attending it. The sponsorship level is easier to get a hold of. You know, the TV deal isn't the best, but we've seen people like a Gelled Wen, a company we probably haven't heard of. They're a window and door company in the Fortune 500, mm-hmm. who does the naming rights sponsorship at the Portland Timbers and just absolutely kills it. Now they're in the PGA Tour. Now they're moving into the NFL and the NBA. But they started with MLS. So as much as, you know, I don't watch it, it does very, very well. And it's something that all these other teams and leagues need to focus on. You know, at Penn State, for example, when you're talking about the millennials, when you're talking about those next generations, where is that money going? Everything is a competition, right? They need to make sure that they're appealing to that next generation. Charging a whole lot of money, you know, giving the boosters the best seats, that doesn't appeal to the next generation.
Right. I want to follow up on the article, too. There was a point in the article where they just talked and where they discussed with a University of Michigan student who went to the games. I guess he went to six out of seven home games at the Big House this year. And eighth on his list was Wi-Fi connectivity, which you and I have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he probably is his parents' data plan.
Okay.
I mean, if that's something I think that people may not think of or realize unless you're in that position. But he talked about going with friends, getting better seats, seeing the team win, and so forth. What kind of research are ticket people doing to say, okay, what works and what doesn't work, especially with the millennials?
So there's a lot of focus on it. So, you know, what's really interesting, especially as a fan, is the different leagues and how they're built. The NBA has an entire business that's around this. It's called NBA Team Business Operations. Teambo is what they call themselves. And all they do is study trends. Why do you go to the game? How do you go to the game? Where are you going to the game? How do we get you to more games, right? The NHL has the same thing going. The NFL just started a couple of years ago. And Major League Baseball, you know, they collect a lot of data. But the reality is, for them, they need to understand what the experience is like and then who that experience caters to. And what we're seeing on the corporate side is they're really catering all the corporate dollar, because as we discussed, if you want to compete right now as an individual team, you have to have corporate dollars. You have to have people that are going to foot the bill for high-level seats so you can go and you can buy a player. You can go and you can get you can pay for Robinson Cano and not go under. Now, the problem is that's short-term thinking, because if you're going to bilk and milk all of the corporations for everything that they're worth, you're leaving that student back into the top corner. You know, back in the days, there used to be blackouts. It used to be difficult to see all the games. Now they can just stay at home and watch the game, and you're hurting the ambiance, because without the students and without their eyeballs and without their ambiance, the corporate guys are just going to stay home. So I personally believe this is a really, really big problem that's being ignored by a lot of teams and leagues. I think Major League Baseball is missing the ball by a mile by charging people to look up things that have happened in the past online. And new fans, that's what they do, right? The kids, the millennials, people below us, they go on YouTube and look at highlights, and they can't do it without paying for it. Well, then I'll go look at somebody else's, right? I'll build my affinity there. And I think the problem is we're all going to be sitting here in 10 years and saying, what happened? And you and I are going to be saying, well, we said what happened 10 years ago, right? You had too much focus on the short term, and it's leaving the student out.
I mean, there has to be someone within an organization that says, okay, 10, 20 years from now, that's my big money consumer. True?
There are those who see that. The issue is that it's all short term, right? A lot of these guys right. are compensated on what's happening in the next 3 years, and they're not going to be here in 5 years. They're not going to be here in 10 years. I mean, team presidents, it's just not the way it was. I mean, there's a few that are out there that are figureheads, and most of them move around, and they move around regularly.
Right.
And that's the issue. So what you need is you need a strong league like the NBA is doing, and they do a fantastic job of stepping in and saying, look, we've got to protect this. We've got to grow this because those, you know, back to that article that Darren wrote, Darren's a close friend. Those guys are the boosters of tomorrow. Without them, without those, you know, memories that they have of going to the game early and getting the tailgate and seeing the community and being a part of it, without that, they're not going to pony up exponential ballers to be a part of it when they're...
And Darren's article was brilliant because I think he led us to a couple of conclusions. And one of them, at least to me, and tell me where if I'm wrong with this or not, that at least when it comes to college sports, basketball, football, a later start time means fewer no-shows.
It's, you know, there's a lot of focus on the later start time because it allows people to be a part of the experience. And look, the funny thing is if you talk to Darren, he'll tell you this. He, you know, maybe doesn't put it on the article, but you got to sell beer in the stadiums. I mean, they're not, they cut that off at a lot of stadiums 10 years ago, and that is a reason for a lot of people that they don't attend the game. I mean, maybe not you and I, but if you're looking to create an ambiance and a circumstance where people are going to go, I mean, now you've got the competition between home and the game. It's not even a measure of beer is too expensive at the game. It's just not there.
And you know what? And that is actually, you know, a lot of people have complained about that. I mean, they have talked about that.
Out here, I believe the last team to do that, to go dry at game day, and that was 5 or 6 years ago, so it's been quite a while.
Right. One thing that you and I have talked about in the past, Tony, is that you do a lot of buys, or corporations do a lot of buys months and months ahead of time, so you already have a read as to how things are going. Give me your give me a read. See, I've been listening to you. So give me a read, Tony, on Major League Baseball and what we can expect this summer based on buys that happened 6, 7, 8 months ago.
Baseball is going to have a flat year. I don't think attendance is going to be higher than it was last year. In fact, there's a chance it might go down. I think we're going to see a little bit of what we saw in Sochi, a little bit of padding of the numbers by offering cheaper plans and all-you-can-eat plans and things that are just trying to get people into this. Baseball is notoriously bad in April, May, and June, especially on the corporate side. They just don't go. And it's not an issue of whether they want to try to go. They really do try to get those tickets out there, but nobody wants to go sit out and watch the Pirates or the Cubs in, you know, the middle of April. It's freezing and miserable. So I think we're going to see a little bit of that with baseball. I think we're going to see a pretty strong market for the Masters this year. A little more strong than we've seen in the past. And, you know, like we said earlier, I think that the big news is going to be the Rio World Cup. I think that's going to consume the global market. I think it's going to be, for the average fan who's probably saying right now, wow, this really feels like an Olympic Games, that this isn't even happening like normal Olympics feel like, this World Cup is going to feel like, wow, this is a World Cup on steroids, right? I haven't experienced something like this in the media and in, you know, the social circles I'm running in quite a while. You're going to hear a lot about it.
And then it goes back, I think part of that goes back to the fact that this country has started to follow the English Premier League. It's caught on here, and people want to go and be a part and see something like that. And it's close enough to do it.
It has. It has. And that's what MLS is hoping for, right? They've people for 30 years, have been believing that eventually this sport, which is by far and away the biggest globally, is going to catch on here. The ratings that the World Cup does, the money that the World Cup does, absolutely demolishes the Super Bowl. Now, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because the Super Bowl is a one-day event, right? And no one day of the World Cup is as big as the Super Bowl. But, I mean, the number and the money, the numbers and the money that are in that event are staggering.
Tony, as always, an absolute pleasure. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Tony Knott, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. And we'll come back with more.
Three.
Whoops. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to save you big money at the pump and big money at your bank with huge discounts and great gas mileage on all new Hyundais. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 31 brand new Hyundai Elantras discounted $2,700. Elantra start at $15,677 and gets 38 miles per gallon. Does anyone want to save $6,120? Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all 2013 Sonata Hybrids $6,120 off MSRP. Sonata start at $19,694. If your current vehicle gets 20 miles per gallon and you trade it in on a 40 mpg Sonata hybrid, you'd save $110 per month on gas. Who doesn't want to save $110 per month and $6,120 off the sticker price of a brand new Sonata hybrid? If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Gas mileage savings based on 15,000 miles per year and $3.55 per gallon.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came aboard. Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
They're not even a real country anyway.
Huh?
Sorry, I couldn't help it. I had to dig out Blame Canada from South Park.
Oh, no, no. They're very real, and they won today 3-2 in overtime. Down 2-0 with about six and a half minutes to play. Rallied and won, got a goal, then Pullen scored a goal to, about 53 seconds to go?
Yeah.
And then she scored again on a 5-on-3 power play, a two-person advantage in overtime to win it 3-2 over the Americans. That's a hard way to lose. An exciting way to win, but it's a hard way to lose. Canada gets the gold, the United States the silver. Men play tomorrow in the semifinal, which will be at noon tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
And you know what? I'll have a tie between the men's hockey team and the women's hockey team coming up in the next half hour, too.
A reason for all of us to live. Brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motor Studio Mobile today, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.